Thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. To learn more about City Place Church, visit cityplacechurch.com or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at City Place Church.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah 43. We read this a little bit last week. We're going to continue. Everybody have a good Christmas and all that other good stuff. You're anticipating what God's going to say to you and do in this next year, this next decade, full of opportunity and potential. So this morning, I want to lay the groundwork. I'm going to give us like a mini series before I give us another series. But I'm going to tie them all together. And we're going to be, this week, I'm going to lay a foundation. And then it's going to be a couple of weeks where we're going to be practical. Is that all right? Meaning like my sermon notes might have us doing some different things. I know it might be uncustomary for us to do some practical things in God's house, but I have you for once a week, you know. I get to see you, and I feel like we're in a different season of life. And as pastor, our responsibility is to encourage you with the word of God, yes, but also give us an environment by which we can do some practical things where we can change our life right away. Are you with me? And so this week, next week, I'm going to lay a little foundation, and then I'm going to tag in a series that's going to get us thinking beyond just this season. And so Isaiah 43, if this is your first time here, my name is Damon, my wife. Her name is Taisha. She encouraged us this morning. We are the lead pastors of City Place Church, and we are honored that you would give up your Sunday and take this journey with us. If you've been coming for a while, at the end of our service, we have a series called Next Steps. It's three classes that tells about the heart of our church. We would love to take the journey of seeing our city one for Jesus together. There's things on the inside of you that God's put on the inside of you that literally God has ordained for God's house. And we just want to be able to pull those purposes out and see what we can do together in winning our city. That's what the reason why we're here, is to build you up, but also to see your friends and loved ones saved for the kingdom of God. Amen? How many of y'all are cold? Cold inside. Here's what I want you to do. If you're single, I want you to grab your stuff, move to somebody else that's single, and just snuggle. I'm just playing. I'm kidding. I'm joking. Just like, I'm right here. Y'all are surprised, but there are people who are like, and that's my word from the Lord. Confirmation, Jesus. I saw them walk in. There is an empty. Y'all can't see from my vantage point. Moving fast. Like, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody said God is good. Yes, he is. Isaiah, let's get to speaking and preaching so that God can bump me out the way. Isaiah 43, 15 through 19, you'll find some sermon notes on your seat. It says this: I am the Lord, your Holy One. The Creator is of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinguished. They are quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Everybody say new. Now it shall spring forth. Everybody say now. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Leave your hand there. Go over to the book of Acts with me. Acts is in the New Testament, the second half of the Bible. You'll find four Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And right after John, there is the book of Acts. And if you're like me sometimes and you don't know where to find it, at the beginning of your Bible, there is a table of contents. That's how I cheat. When people are like, Nahum, I'm like, oh, you got me on that one. Oh, table of contents. Table of contents. Acts chapter 9, 1 through 8. Says this, I'm going to read it as fast as I can, but I want to give us the context for our future. It says, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. He went to people in church and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that he, if he found anyone who was of the way, meaning like they were followers of Jesus, they accepted Jesus in their heart, whether men or women, that Paul might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Paul said, Who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So Paul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing only a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by hand and brought him into Damascus. Let's pray. Lord, we love you today. We thank you for this new season. We thank you for this new time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning, I want to give a little bit of context. Last week, if you were here, if you weren't, I'm going to catch you up just with a quick statement. We talked about how if we weren't careful, we would miss what God has done over a decade by just focusing on a year. But we laid the foundation for what we're going to talk about today because the Bible says don't remember the former things in Isaiah. And it says, behold, I'm doing something new. But when you read a couple of verses up, God actually reminds them of everything that he had done in the previous season and decades. But yet he gets to the place where he says, now I want you to forget about that because I'm going to do something new. Then he puts it back on them and he says, now, do you recognize that I'm able to do something new? And then he goes on a little bit further, says, now listen, I'll make a road in the wilderness and a river in the desert. So he says, listen, let me remind you of what I've done. Quentin did it so eloquently when he talked about the memorial stones. You want to look back at what God has done. You just don't want to live there. So God said, hey, I'm going to take you back to give you a glimpse of the future. Then I'm going to put it on you whether you want this to happen or not. Do you want it to happen? He says, Isaiah 43. He says, I'm going to put it on you. I'm going to take you back. And I'm going to say, forget about it. Then I'm going to have you look forward. Then I'm going to say, do you want it? So this morning, as I was thinking about where God is taking us as a church and you, I wanted to challenge us because Paul's life in the book of Acts chapter now we're caught up to where you got last week's message in 2 seconds. Now you're going to get this week's. Paul in Acts chapter 9, Paul knows the Bible. He grew up looking for the Messiah, but the way Jesus came didn't match what he thought. And so Paul, in his way of trying to defend God's kingdom, decides that he's going to kill everyone that believed that Jesus was really Jesus. Okay? So he kills everyone, and he is looking for more people. He goes to church, and he says, do I have permission, Pastor, to bring in more people who have declared that Jesus is the one? He gets permission while he is actually going to find people who are believing in what Jesus can do. Paul has his encounter with God. Pause. Paul grew up in church. Paul went to church every single week and could quote the Old Testament scripture. Paul was looking for Jesus. Jesus had walked on the earth. And Paul had never had an encounter with Jesus. That leads me to believe that last decade, we could have known about Jesus, spent time in church, and not had an encounter with Jesus. How scary would it be for us to be in a new decade and lack an encounter with Jesus? You with me? You tracking with me so far? So Paul is going, Saul is his name, so that I don't jump ahead. His name eventually becomes Paul. Saul is breathing threats, the Bible says, and he's going to fulfill what he feel like he's called to do, and out of nowhere, encounter with God. And his instinct, because he's religious, says, well, who are you, Lord? I've never encountered this before, but obviously this is something supernatural. I just don't know how to identify such an encounter. So he says, who are you, Lord? You're obviously higher than me. And I've got to figure out what this moment is. So he says, I'm going to humble myself. Who are you? And it says, I am Jesus. You think you're helping me out, but you're actually hurting me. And he says, for the first time ever, you're going to have a real encounter with me. You're going to have a real encounter with me. And he says this. He says, now, I'm going to take it from here. You've done good by yourself. But after an encounter with me, this sort of encounter that you have is going to leave a permanent mark. I want to declare with you and to you that in front of you in this season is an encounter with God of the type that will leave a permanent mark. Last decade is gone. We can't get that back. We can look back. But behold, I'm doing a new thing. Shall you not recognize it? You want to encounter it? Paul, one season of his life was spent in one direction, one tangible encounter with Jesus changes everything. So in preparation of this message, I was thinking, man, we're going into 2020. I'm excited to be going into 2020. I talked about this last week. And then I realized that God wasn't done with dealing with me on decades yet. I was finished with 2019. I was looking at 2019. God said, nope, if you're not careful, the ups and downs of 2019, you'll think that you're going to bring some of those into 2020. I want you to look over the decade. And if you look over the decade, you'll see how faithful I've been. And you'll see that you have actually been in a position of winning the whole time. So as I'm studying this and I'm meditating on, behold, I'll do a new thing. I'm going to do it now. Shall you not know it? Damon, I'm going to do things in the wilderness places. I'm going to produce roads in dry places. I'm going to produce rivers. Damon, don't just look at 2020. So here's my focus. I want to challenge you. Quentin already showed y'all the present. I want to challenge you to think in decades and not days. To think in decades and not days, because this encounter that Jesus gives to Paul was not for a year. He said, hey, let me give you a glimpse of your past. This is what you used to do. But hey, I'm doing a new thing now. And you're going to realize that I'm going to meet you while you're on the road. I'll do things where it seems like it's going in one direction, and I'll create a road. And I'll create a river. Paul was walking on a road, and God said, I'm going to meet you on the road, and it will be new. I want you to think in decades and not days. Some years ago, my wife and I, God has given us, as young leaders, crazy opportunities to sit in rooms with pastors that have spoken to the world, and it's just been crazy. So we were sitting in this room with young pastors, and the pastor that was leading at the time was very influential, and he's one of our heroes. And he said, okay, before we get started, I'm going to give you a focus. And we're like, okay, this is going to be spiritual. And he's like, no, this is going to be practical. He said, I was sitting with Bishop Jakes one time, and because he had been in some rooms, T.D. Jakes, amazing pastor. If you've never heard him, you should look him up. Awesome. He said, I was sitting in a room with Bishop T.D. Jakes, and Bishop T.D. Jakes said, what is your 20-year plan? And he said, well, I don't know. I haven't thought that far out yet. So he said, before we begin, my assignment this weekend is to get you to think in decades and not days. He said, here's a sheet of paper. I want you to go 20 years out. He says, and I don't want you to go 2010, 2011, 2013. No, he said, I want you to go 2020. I'm adding the days. Don't remember when we were there. 2020, and I want you to work your way back. Because if God works from the end and he knows the beginning, I believe he can give you a glimpse. See, all throughout God's word, God always gives a glimpse of the end. It does. Adam sins. He said, don't worry about it. I got somebody. When Noah, he doesn't just build a boat for no reason. God said, it's going to rain. Okay. He didn't say, like, when. He just said, it's going to rain. and I want you to build a boat. And year after year, Noah started building a boat. I mean, they're like, well, when is it going to happen? No, I'm just showing you the end because I want you to know that you have a longer runway. See, if we live in days and only years, then we will be filled with disappointment because we try to figure out our own days. Y'all with me? I'm planning for the next series, but I have to lay the foundation now. So I'm doing a new thing, shall you not know it. I want to challenge us not to think in years or just days. I want to challenge us to think in decades, because if we think in decades, then I go out and I say, well, God, you show me the end from the beginning, because most of the dreams of our heart are not in dreamed. They're not dreamed in days. I want to be married. Most of us start dreaming about being married when we're young. That ain't going to happen tomorrow. Am I right? So, but we will try to rush the process of other things that can be tangible. I want to own a house next year. Me too. But what if I said, God, you want me to own a house? And it's on my decade plan. It's just practical. I mean, God will give you the house tomorrow. I'm not saying that. But if I give myself a little bit more runway, then I realize that there's a part of the process, which then means it takes me out of the equation. I don't have to go borrow and steal just to try to get in this house because it was a goal. No, I know that that's from the Lord, so I'm going to put that in thinking of the decades. Victory. If I think in decades and not days, then I allow God to position me for what he has for me. Y'all okay? So here's the first thing that I was thinking about. If I'm going to be able to think about decades and not days, write this down. It's time for me, watch now, to know God. If I'm going to think in decades and not days, and if God is really going to do something new, then it's time for me to know God. Paul! I'm looking for the ones who have confessed Jesus. I go to church every single Sunday. They're missing it. Paul, who was Saul, is walking, and God says, it's time for a real encounter. It's time for you to know me. When you look up the word know, in biblical days, it meant not like, hey, I got, 1,500 Facebook friends. Nope. It meant intimacy. Intimacy is only in the place of covenant relationships, marriage of husband and wife. But intimacy is there. And it's where you expose you, I expose me, all of my hurts and all of my worries and all of my fears, everything comes aside and I just trust you and you trust me. And then it produces intimacy, which ultimately will produce and birth something. And the only way that we will be able to think in decades and not days is if we truly know God. Here's a thought that I want you to think about here. When was your last? If this is your first time here in City Place Church and your first church encounter, maybe like this year I'm going back to church, your first encounter with God, I'm going to give you an opportunity to experience that today through salvation. Great place to start. But for those of you who have been walking with the Lord, when was your last tangible encounter with God? I don't know what that looks like. It didn't have to be the heavens open. But when was that last moment with God where you were like, oh man, I'm in love with you? That warm, fuzzy feeling of just like, man, just hanging out with you is what it's about. I don't know how that looks like for you, but when was your last moment? The hunger and the thirst of, it's all about him and I'm going hard just to be with him. We're going to have to know him in this next decade. Can I tell you that your relationship with God is a threat with the enemy? I saw a little news clipping the other day that over in a foreign country that 36 Christians were beheaded because they said yes to Jesus. Like, the enemy's coming after you, and that's not to bring you fear. It's just that you and I can fight, like Ty was talking about, differently when we're comfortable with our Savior, when we're comfortable with our dad. I'm in this no matter what. I'm rolling with you no matter what. You got my heart no matter what. The enemy's going to try to take you out because you love Jesus. But there's no need to fear because Jesus is with you. But those ups and downs that we sometimes take, he may not be fully engaged. It's time for me to have God encounters. Moving from just the surface to knowing his character, his movements, his aches, his pains, his plans, his purpose, his thoughts. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, this is Paul. Now, Paul is along his journey. Paul has been serving God now, 100%. He's all in. And this is what Paul says after his name is changed in 1 Corinthians 2:2. He says, for I am determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul says, every single day I've got to go further and further in knowing who he is. There's got to be more. I have to discover it. He says, now, if I spend time with you, I could get a little bit off track, but while we're hanging out, I just want you to know that I have one primary focus, and that's Jesus and Jesus himself. I want to know about him. I want to know about his crucifixion. There's so much more that I still have to know, and I want to make sure that I don't miss anything or get sidetracked, because if I'm not careful, I could miss a little something. So Paul makes it clear. He says, in this season of my life, since he has changed me, all I want to know is Jesus Christ and him crucified. One thing is, in this season, in this decade of our life, we have to know God. No more surface. No more surface, but at an intimate level. Second thing, we have to live in freedom. We have to live in freedom. The ups and downs of the previous decades, Paul was missing God. Paul was killing people. He was the ultimate sin. But God said, hey, it's new. It's now. You're going to live in freedom. You're not going to turn back. You're going to live in my place. When you read the rest of Acts chapter 9, it says that there was a man named Ananias who came, and he came around Saul at the time, and he says, hey, you're coming to my house. You're going to spend some time with me, and I'm going to help you see clearly what God has done in your life. You know, we try to create an atmosphere here where we can grow in relationships, and where life can be spoken into you, because there'll be things that you need to be challenged in and encouraged in. And so we set and put up city groups. They're just small groups gathering, because when you look at the book of Acts, Paul had a little small group that after he had his encounter with God, Paul had questions. I'm sure Paul felt a little bit guilty about what he had done in the past and whether he was worthy of this new relationship with God. And Ananias just came around and said, hey, I just want you to know, if nobody else believes in you, we do. I just want you to know you got a group. You got a group who's going to speak life to you. And the Bible says that he has a moment with Saul, and he prays for him. And it says that the sight that he didn't have before, it said that his sight came back because Ananias prayed for him. See, if we're going to live in freedom, we have to have God-centered relationships. And that can be real cliche-ish, but we really do need to have people around us who love Jesus at the intensity you do. I know that I'm not trying to be religious, because I have unsaved friends, no doubt about it. They're good friends, but I'm in their life to pull their meter up. There are people in your life who need to speak life to you, and you have to give them permission, because they're part of enhancing that encounter. My responsibility in your life is to pull you closer to God. And everything that I might say won't always be with a hug. Oh, man, that was so encouraging. But I also might say, we need to get in God's word. And it might just be just like that. You got to spend more time with God. That cuts because you're busy. But it's all to pull us to those encounters with God for this next decade. Can't worry about the last decade. I can look back and say, God, you were faithful. But for this next decade, the intensity of my pursuit for his presence has to be real. Live in freedom is the second thing. Here's what the Bible says in John 8:32. It says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Have y'all ever heard that verse? I looked up the word truth, because sometimes we can misquote it. If you know the truth, it'll make you free. Well, you got to know what the truth is. Watch this. The Bible says in John 14 that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Everything comes back to Jesus. Everything comes back to Jesus. It's not going to be in my academic study. It's not just going to be from the wisdom of you. If I don't have an encounter with Jesus, I don't really know the truth. I have to be rooted and planted in my relationship with Jesus, because if I'm going to experience the freedom that he has called me to, I've got to know the truth. And Jesus clearly said, I am the way, I am the truth. He's not being cocky about it. It's just true. Jesus is cocky enough to say, listen, it all goes through me. I know that sounds bad, because if we try to compare religions, it could seem like, oh man, he's just a God who wants it all to himself. No, he's a God that gave everything to us and gives us access to everything that he has. And so everything is about winning. It's not about like, I'm going to lord over you. No, he's like, listen, if you want to experience life, come through me. If you want to live at a level of truth, come through me. If you want to experience healing, give me a shot. If you want to thrive in your family and your marriage, just include me. He is not a God who's just like, you will do what I say. No, actually, all of us have a choice. But he's like, boy, if you let me in, I will change your world and you will make a lasting impact. It is proof that one real encounter with God will last forever. This morning, I'm talking about a guy who is not living. I'm talking about a guy whose life was changed thousands of years ago, and I'm quoting him in scripture today. What would happen if you and I allowed God to give us real life encounters that went generationally beyond us? It's possible. It's possible for your God encounters to bleed into your family. I am standing up here because my grandparents prayed. My parents were a result of their prayers. We are in God's house, not of our own good, because somebody years ago didn't even know you would exist, said, God, I just pray right now for my great-grandchildren. God, I just pray right now for my nieces and nephews. God, when I'm gone, let the word of God be saturated in our home. I know that because my grandmother would be upstairs all by herself. My mom and my dad weren't together when they had me. My mom was out there living her thing, and so was my dad. She was 22 years old, and she had a woman who was situated in the cubicle next to her who kept talking about Jesus. And after she wore my mama down, by her testimony, not just her words, my mom said, okay, I'll go to church with you. Gave her life to Jesus. And at 5 years old, I had my first kids' church encounter. But it wasn't until I was 18 when I really met Jesus. 13-year difference. My kids, they have accepted Jesus. We prayed for the Holy Spirit to fill them. But do you know what? They are going to have one of those moments when they're like, this is not my daddy's Lord. This is my Jesus. Lord Jesus, you can have me all. Jesus, take all of me. This is not about mom and dad. This is not about, they will have that moment. But you and I can have that moment every single day. You should know the truth. Truth by definition, that word truth, watch, this is what it means. What is true in things pertaining to God and the duties of man, moral and religious truth? It all comes around Jesus. When you look up the word truth, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free, it all goes back to Jesus. Truth is found in Christ alone. Freedom comes from God encounters. Oh, this is a hard one, though. Watch this. Healing comes from the covering of others. That's weird. Healing comes from the covering of others. Look at this verse right here in James. It says, confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man, one in right standing with God, produces much. So I had my God encounter. I realized that God has called me to live in freedom, but then I know that I need someone to help cover me. Who are my friends? Who can speak life to me? Who I can tell the blunt truth to. Can I be honest with you? Don't get mad at me. It's going to be hard to tell spiritual things to unspiritual people. Strategies are different when you pray and you walk with the Lord. Marriage is jacked up. If your friend ain't walking with God, be like, dude, leave her. You ain't need to go through all that. You know what I mean? Bruh, more fish out there, man. We laugh. But we've had our friends for so long that they've become entrusted. And I've got tons of friends, but everybody I can't talk to. Because I need a Jesus encounter when I want to throw the kids off the bridge. You know what I mean? I don't want permission. That's 25 to life in an orange jumpsuit with a dude I don't know. No. I need someone to say, hey, man, have you spoken to the Holy Spirit about this? Or, better yet, you are out of line. That's hard when someone tells you you're wrong. You know why? Because I'm like, this is not what that was. You, my friend. No. No, 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 no. The covering of others, the Bible says, produces healing. See, Ananias said, come to my house, man. I know you just got through killing somebody. I'm going to let you in my private space because I see that God's had an encounter with you. That's the reason why we do our small groups. We've had some amazing stories. I was talking to Benny and Quentin, and they were talking about some of the honesty of the guys. Like out the gate, I'm like, they went level 20 already? Yeah, but you know what? They didn't go into details and tell me everything that they talked about. Why? Because it was a safe place. Same thing for the ladies and the student groups. We've got a young group of students. We have students from our church, and they invite their friends. And every single week, we increase the flow of the Word of God in their life. It started off with like candy. And they're like, yeah, this candy's good. But every week, we open up the faucet a little bit more. And we had them write down things that they would love for us to talk about on a sheet of paper. We didn't have them tell us right away. You'd be amazed by what they want to know. And we said, just so y'all know, this is a safe place. If there's anything that's threatening to you now, we want you to know. Your parents will know. But on the spiritual level, we're going to take a journey with you. Why? Covering. Y'all doing okay? So here's what I realized. And then we'll just pause right here. You can bring your notes back next week. When it comes to our knowing God, when it comes to our living in freedom, your faith, when it comes to your faith, you're going to get what your faith expects. You hear me? You're going to get what your faith expects. If you expect to encounter God, you will encounter God. If you expect to just go through the routine, boom, that's what it'll produce. Decades. Not days. Decades, not days. I wonder what God will do in this next decade. I wonder what God will do in this next decade if we go, I truly want to know you and I'm not holding anything back. I've got to find out about your character. I've got to find out about your heart. I've got to find out about your ways. I've got to find out about your aches and pains because there's things that will hurt God's heart. How many of us know what they are? That means that we've got room to just pursue. How many of us know what he thinks about our city? What he thinks about our boss? What he thinks about our spouse? What he thinks about our kids? Oh, man, look at the pursuit. When we go into God's presence and we say, today I'm going to focus on my wife. Today I'm going to focus on my job. Today, I'm going to focus on my city. Today, I'm going to focus on my church. Today, I'm going to focus on my pastors. Today, I'm going to focus on me. Today, I just want to focus on you. If we just know him. And then freedom. The Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Everything revolves around Jesus. Let me just tell you this. Everything from the last decade, like Quentin said, can be a memorial stone. I want to challenge you. Choose to live in freedom. We're going to take a journey, just a foundation, not to hype you up, just to get you ready. We're going to take a foundation. Next week, we'll finish. And then here's a series that I'm working on. Can I just tell you? Because I feel like I'm struggling. I want to say it. I'm like, no. I want us to have, I want to do a series called My Life in 5 Years. My Life in 5 Years. We're going to split up the decade. my life in 5 years and see if we can't produce some results in the presence of the Lord along the journey versus just going year by year by year. So instead of saying my life in 10 years, we just cut it in half. My life in 5 years.
Thanks for joining us today. If you are in the Central Florida area, we'd love to meet you. Join us on Sundays in Southeast Orlando at City Place Church. Information on service times and directions can be found online at cityplacechurch.com.